If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it up with me and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. As I was preparing for this talk this week, I got a text message when I'm over this passage, and I'm about to read over you here in a minute, and I'm going to read you just a portion of that text. This is what he said. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. Everything looked good for me to leave Asia. Now I'm here alone, confined in a room. This morning, our U.S. Embassy mentioned to me that they may arrange a flight. Please pray that God will make a way for me to return to my family soon. I actually reached out to him right before preaching to you right now, and he's still stuck in this country in East Asia. I've had the opportunity this week to talk with many people who in this season are completely in a desperate position, crying out to God, asking God to move in their lives. I prayed with people. I'll share with you in a few minutes. I had the first opportunity to pray with someone who's actually battling this virus this week. I had many conversations with people even in our church who have lost their job. It's a crazy season in our church. As we've walked through this season, we've been talking about how to find peace in a season of panic. How do we exercise faith over fear? And I just want to remind you real quick what we have seen and talked about, and then we're going to jump into our text this morning. We've showed you that the Word of God has said, if you want to exercise your faith in a season of fear, you need to do three things. First, you need to listen to what Jesus says. First thing you need to do. Second thing you need to do is you need to depend on what Jesus has done. And the third thing you need to do is you need to talk with God. We saw that in the words Jesus gave to his disciples in the upper room just a few minutes before the passage I'm about to read to you. He said the words to his disciples, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. We need to listen to what Jesus said. I've said these things to you so that in me you might have peace. You need to be reading the Word of God. He goes on to say, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. How do we take heart in trouble? I have overcome the world. We need to depend on what Jesus has done. And then we read last week in Philippians chapter 4, we read the words, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we talked about talking with God. Prayers of please and thank you. So that's where we've been so far. We need to, as a church in this unique season, we need to be listening to what Jesus says, depending on what Jesus has done, and we need to be talking to God. Today, we're going to start moving towards Easter. And we're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to watch our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, exercise what the Bible has told us to do. And this is beautiful. It's jaw-dropping, honestly. I'm going to read to you the words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, just a few minutes after he told his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. So Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and he prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Let's pray. God, I pray right now that as we watch Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that we would be reminded of what Jesus has done for us, that we would listen to what Jesus said, and that we would do what he actually did, that we would pray in our time of trouble. So teach us, God, in this text. Pray for me. Pray that my words would be clear, that this time right now would be empowered by the very Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at Jesus' prayer in a time of trouble, his distressed prayer, I want us to look at three things. I want us to look at his community, I want us to look at his dependency, and then I want us to look at his honesty with God. And then I want to invite you with me to ask the question, which one of these things am I leaving out of my time of prayer when I'm in trouble? Jesus may be in the spot where no human being has, and I would say this is the greatest spot of highest possible anxiety. Jesus knows not only is death coming for him, it's much worse than he's losing potentially his retirement in stocks right now, much worse than losing his job. He knows that he is about to take on himself the sin of the world, and that the wrath of God is going to come on him because of our sin. He knows that's about to happen. We read in our text that he was sorrowful and troubled, overwhelmed, your translation might say, very heavy, the King James says. Luke will actually say when he's telling us this story that Jesus was sweating blood. He was in a period of such high distress. He was, NLT says, he became anguished and distressed, and he prayed, "My soul is crushed with grief." Do you feel that way? Watch what Jesus does. First thing he does is he takes something with him. He takes close friends with him to pray. Look what he says in verse 37. He says, "And taking with him," this is God in the flesh in a season of distress, choosing to bring human beings with him to pray. He says, "Taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began sorrow." So the disciples all left with him from the upper room, and he goes out in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he brings several close friends with him, and he says, "I want you to come and pray with me." Verse 41, he says, "Watch and pray that you might enter." He's calling those close to him to pray with him. In this season right now, where so many are distressed, I want to remind you that we need each other right now, maybe more now than ever. We need community. And you need to have people that are believers that you are walking with. Even if you can't get close to them physically. I was in a room this week where I was talking with the mayor, the police chief, the fire chief, and Mark Terman was there from Cross Point, one of our church partners, and Christ Fellowship's pastor, Bruce Miller, was there. And Mark Terman said something I thought was beautiful. He said, "We need to stop using the word social distancing and start using the words physical distancing. We need to connect socially now, more now than ever." And that's exactly the case. If we are going through a unique season in our culture where we really need each other. If you feel alone, I want to invite you again to say, hey, I want to connect to other believers who are following Jesus. We mentioned earlier in the service, you can text First Guest to 50700, and there'll be a link for you to get in a group. I want to just invite you to do that. If you're a life group leader right now, this is a time where we need to be leading our communities. I saw last week and the week before a whole bunch of pictures of communities gatherings through Zoom phone calls in our church. Life groups coming together, praying for each other, breaking up into smaller groups so they could listen to each other and pray with each other as we hurt. Jesus did it. Jesus, God in the flesh, brought community with him when he prayed. So I want you to see that in Jesus' time of trouble, when he was in distress prayer, he brought community with him. Community. Second thing I want you to see is his dependency. Dependency. Verse 39. He went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed. Okay. This is God in the flesh. And God in the flesh was dependent on prayer. God in the flesh didn't try to take care of things on his own. God in the flesh didn't try to carry the anxiety on his shoulders. God in the flesh, in his distressed state, you know what he did? He depended on his Father in heaven. He fell on his face and prayed. I love how he opens his prayer, "My Father, if it be possible." Interesting, in verse 39 and 42, these are the only places in the New Testament where we hear Jesus addressing God as my Father. He is crying out to his daddy. We read in Mark's story here, him using the word Abba, daddy. He runs to his daddy. And he brings his requests to his Father in heaven. Now, interestingly, his community actually fails him. They end up falling asleep. His daddy doesn't. Now, his daddy's actually going to say no to his request. We'll talk about here in a second. But his daddy meets with him. If you're watching this alone in a home, and you don't have a group of believers around you, you can depend on God. He will never leave you or forsake you. And I want to invite you in this season to do what Jesus did and to go to God in prayer. Depend on your Father right now. He will be with you. Jesus in his distress prayer. Community, dependency, and now watch his honesty. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Again, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, this prayer, again, it's jaw-dropping for me. That God in the flesh is going to his heavenly Father God in a dependent prayer, asking God to remove a pain that he sees coming. I don't know if you're like me, but there are times in prayer where I feel selfish asking God to remove pain. Now, if Jesus, all of his life, he was walking. He told his disciples many times before these 3 days happened that what must happen now is I must go suffer and die. I'll be dead for 3 days. I'm going to rise again. Jesus knew what was coming, but in his knowing what was coming, he still went to God in prayer and he said, Daddy, please help. He was completely honest with God that this is something I don't want to go through. And I think for you right now, there are many people maybe that have fear right now what's going on health-wise. It's okay to go to God and say, God, protect those I love. If you have fear what's going on financially, and it's okay for you to go to God and say, God, I'm stressed. Help God, please don't take my family through a season where I can't put food on the table. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. But Jesus, if Jesus can be honest with God and say, God, please take this cup from me, I believe you and I can be honest with God too. We need, like Jesus did, to pray with community, dependency, and honesty, and then surrender to His will. Jesus, when He taught His disciples to pray, He said, "Pray, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done." Go to Him in honesty, and then know that He will answer your prayer the same way you would if you knew all that He knows. Jesus prays it. He prays it three different times. As we close, I want to let you know a little bit again about a conversation I had this last week. First time that I got to talk with someone who's walking through this disease. His spouse was in the hospital, and they were taking care of her. He was told that we don't have enough tests for you right now yet. That's coming, but we believe you also have it. And I asked him, "What is it that I can do for you?" You know what he said? He said, "Pray." He said, "Pray." And I don't know what you're going through right now, but if Jesus and His disciples ask for that, it's not just the followers of Jesus need to be asking for that. We need to be doing that. We need to be exercising that. We need to be praying. We told you last week, every day at noon, we've asked you to set an alarm at 12 o'clock to pray. And we want to come together. You can do it in your own spot, wherever you are, stop and pray. Or you can join us online. We shared a little devotional thought. We answered some questions in that time. We had different staffers involved this week, but a little devotional thought, and then we're going to pray. Tonight at 7 o'clock, all the pastors in McKinney, we've gotten the word out. We're inviting McKinney. Frisco's doing the same thing. At 7 o'clock, for 19 minutes, to stop where you are with your family or alone and pray. If Jesus did it, we're going to do it, right? Pray. Pray. Community, dependency, honesty. All right, so as we transition, I'm going to point out what Jesus was praying. He was praying, "God, let this cup pass from me." Interestingly, when you look at the cup in the Old Testament, the cup was a symbol of God's wrath being released on people because of their sin. I'm going to put a verse here on the screen. This is Isaiah chapter 51, verse 17. "Wake yourself, wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of His wrath, who have drunk to the dregs, the bowl, the cup of staggering." What was Jesus praying that God would remove? He was praying that God would remove from him not the experience of death. He was praying that God would remove from him the very bringing on of himself the sin that you and I have committed, and the wrath of God that had to come because God is a just and loving God against sin. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "At one tremendous draft of love, He drank damnation dry." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." This is what's beautiful. Jesus, just a few minutes before this prayer, was with His disciples in the upper room, leading them in the first Lord's Supper, saying that this bread is My body for you. This is the blood of the new covenant. He gave them a cup to drink, remembering what He was about to do. He was about to drink the cup that now, by grace through faith in Christ, we no longer have to drink. If you're here and you're listening to the service and you've always wondered, what do Christians believe? Christians do not believe that we're better than other people based on our works. We believe that Jesus has come. He has drank the penalty that we deserve for our sin. He took on Himself the sin of the world in our place, and He drank the very wrath of God that was coming against sin, so that you and I now get to live forgiven. We receive that gift by grace through faith in Christ. Luther called it the great exchange, that for our sake, He made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. All the sin, of all the redeemed of all time would be placed on Jesus' shoulders. It was the only way. He prayed, is there any other way, God? If there were any other way, if there were any other way, if people could work harder to get better to get into heaven, you think God would have said yes? Absolutely. There was no other way. We are going to take together now the Lord's Supper. So I want to invite you with your families to pass out the elements here. I'm going to take one. I'm going to pass out the elements to your family. And Justin and Holly are going to sing. After they've sung, we will take together. So we're going to cut over to Justin and Holly at their home. They'll lead us as we remember what Jesus has done for us.
As far as heights reach from the depths, as far as east is from the west, so far your grace has carried me. Until I see you face to face, until at last I've won my race, remind me you're not finished yet. Hallelujah. 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 I live in remembrance. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take together. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to drink the cup that we no longer have to drink. That he took on himself our sin, took on himself the wrath of God against our sin, and died in our place. Father, we remember that together today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us. Our church right now is doing all that we can to help serve our community. You're going to hear more information over the next few days. I've heard so many cool stories from this last week. I heard of doctors at the hospital at Baylor were bringing meals to those that are working overtime at Baylor. Many of you have gone and taken food to the food pantries in town. There's information online. It's just exciting. You're being the church. You're loving your neighbors as much as we can in this season of physical distancing. Love y'all. Thank you for doing that. I want to invite you again, if you haven't texted, if you want to find community here, you can text the word first guest to 50700. We'd love to connect with you. If you today need someone to pray with you, if you today are hurting and you want someone to pray, we want to pray with you, you can text the word rescue to 50700. If you today have made a decision to follow Jesus as your Savior, for maybe the first time you've understood what Jesus has done for us, and you want to say yes to Jesus, if you want to receive the gift of Him taking on Himself your sin on the cross, you can also reach out, text RESCUE to 50700. There'll be a different drop-down option. We'd love to pray with you, talk with you about how you can follow Jesus. There's also a link if you want to pursue baptism, you can text RESCUE to 50700. We love you. We're going to see you again next week. And instead of me praying the prayer of blessing that I usually pray over you, we're going to sing it over you right now with Justin and Holly. So we're cutting one more time back into their house as they sing the prayer of blessing over us.
beside.